How do we start this, dude?
I don't know, man. God, what a weekend.
I'm okay. How about you?
Pretty good. Yeah.
I mean,
okay, so we were going to enter this conversation, and the biggest question that I have is that we're about to talk about a bunch of Twitter stuff that happened on Twitter this weekend with Twitter people, and that I have no idea what percentage of our YouTube and RSS FOD podcast listeners are like, oh yes, I totally know what was going on and I'm interested in this, versus I'm not on Twitter. And even if I was, I didn't see what you're talking about. And so I don't know what the drama is you're talking about. I have no idea what percentage of our like podcast listeners are on Twitter and inside of that same arena, exposed to the same things that you and I are exposed to.
But a bunch of people probably have no idea what you're talking about. Probably you're just talking about Twitter. Okay, so the first topic is David and I accidentally became main characters this weekend on Twitter. There was massive backlash against Bankless.
It dominated all of crypto Twitter.
Yes, there were stories about it. It was intense, and we were in the middle of it. So we're going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about, did we deserve it? We're going to talk about, like, what do we do? And then I think there's one common theme of this episode, David, which is the next topic. Why are we here? Yeah. I feel like I had another glimpse of that existential crypto crisis of, like, what am I even doing here?
What are we doing?
And like, what are the rest of us doing here? Yeah. And also, where are the apps? It's all under that theme. So, Bankless listener, I hope you will give us some grace if we are a little self-indulgent today, maybe a little more nihilistic than usual. I hope not, maybe. But I'm feeling a little down in the dumps as we go into this episode, David. I don't know about you.
Yeah, existential is a word that comes to mind, certainly.
Existential? Was this an existential crisis? All right, we're going to get into all of it. But before we do, our friends and sponsors over at Near have a message for Bankless listeners. What is that, David?
Near data availability is a thing for Ethereum rollups at a fraction of the cost that it costs for data for rollups to purchase Ethereum's data availability. You can purchase some data from Near instead at 1/8,000th of the cost, I think, 8,000 times cheaper. I don't know if that math works out. But Near is not only just a layer one for Near, as it has always been, but is now also a data availability for Ethereum rollups as well, working with Polygon to help onboard many new chains and many more developers into the world of Ethereum-based rollups and Near-based data availability. There is a link in the show notes to get started with Near.
David, did Near pay to say that? You dirty girl.
Near paid the company that I am a owner of to pay. They paid me to say that.
Wow.
Apparently makes me a grifter for like a decent chunk of crypto Twitter's beliefs.
I am in disbelief at that, David, that you would dare
you were paid?
Have a sponsor on this show. Let's talk about the first, and this is where we get a little self-indulgent. So I don't know how your Thanksgiving was, David, but mine was just fantastic. Yeah. And then Black Friday came out, and it was very black. It was dark for me.
My Thanksgiving was Friday because we did it a day late because half the family was out watching football.
You were dealing with this drama.
So it was on Thanksgiving for me.
Dude, I'm sorry, man. See,
I was able to put my phone down. I was like, okay, there's a mess going on over there, but this turkey is delicious.
Well, you were putting your phone down. I was fighting on Twitter.
You were glued.
Arguing with people. Let's talk about what happened. So this was one of the first tweets I saw. Another day, another attempt to drain Arbitrum DAO treasury. And here's a picture of me.
You.
Looks like
yes,
a play of reverse Uno card. And what am I doing? This is a picture of me attempting, it looks like, to drain the Arbitrum treasury for $1.8 million.
Hey, what Near paid me a modest amount. You're trying to drain the Arbitrum DAO for $2 million. What are you doing, bro?
Okay, so there is this proposal proposed by the Bankless DAO for a global education onboarding campaign. Here's the link to the proposal. It's a full abstract. It's basically a marketing education proposal. Mm-hmm. Put together by the Bankless DAO. Could you give some context in like what we're talking about, what this proposal is, what this particular Twitter account is complaining about, why they are charging you and I with trying to drain the Arbitrum treasury, David?
Sure. So the Bankless DAO is a collection of sub DAOs, each kind of specializing in different arenas, if you will. So there's translations, and then every single like translation also like there's people that will translate stuff into Spanish and people that will translate stuff into like German. So each one of those, its own like organization. And then there's like the marketing department. And then there's like onboarding and educational docs. There's many different departments that come together. And this, all of this amalgamated into this package that Bankless DAO proposed to Arbitrum for 1.8 million ARB tokens, $2 million, to do all of these things if the Arbitrum DAO accepts. So Bankless DAO amalgamates all these services. Like, hey, here's what we will do. Here's all of the services. Offer, you know, trade offer. You know, we have all this package for you. We receive $2 million of ARB tokens.
1.8 million ARB tokens precisely, which is valued at about a dollar each or so. So like $2 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Another tweet. So Bankless literally raiding treasuries and grants, begging for money because they apparently generate no revenue. In this space for years, doing content education interviews and market recaps, but still somehow poor, launched a token that went to zero. Okay, what's the context of this tweet? How is this related to Bankless and our media organization?
So this Twitter account is tagging Bankless HQ, which is mine and Ryan's Bankless LLC, that our Twitter account. And so they say, hey, Bankless HQ is literally raiding treasuries and begging for grants. And what they are doing is thinking that this Bankless DAO proposal to Arbitrum is us, is Bankless HQ, not Bankless DAO. So the overlap, like Bankless DAO and all of those services provided are provided by a bunch of workers in the DAO. And then there's Bankless HQ, which is what we are. And we are not asking Arbitrum for the $2 million of tokens. And we would not be receiving them $2 million of tokens. Only the DAO would. And people are confused about the lines that separate HQ and DAO. And as I say these words, I'm like, yeah, okay, I kind of get it.
You kind of get why they're confused.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, so we were on the receiving end of this attack. Like, you should change your name from Bankless to Shameless. There is just a lot of charges that David and I, and Bankless is just a company that likes to grift people and rip people off. I've heard many similar stories from you guys, industry insiders who dealt with you. You have to own up to this and accept or change your ways. Stop being a grifter, David and Ryan, was the basic charge. And then there were just like other straight up mean tweets like this. Yeah. Like this guy goes, Ryan, you're getting old. Your job as a man was to leave behind a legacy, something of value for future generations. The time is ticking, but it's already too late. They will remember you for living a half-assed life, grifting to make ends meet, a faceless man, half meme.
And well, half tweets, man is correct.
But it's actually half robot. Tweets like this were absolutely like just pouring in my timeline.
It was
everywhere.
Deafening. It was overwhelming. I didn't know that there were that many people left in crypto. It was seemingly all of them.
And it was very difficult when a lot of these are anonymous accounts or a lot of these are accounts I don't really know. Some of them aren't though, David. And some of them were jumping on this train and just being like, yeah, like what's up? What's Bankless doing over there? Why does it need this money? And it was so inundated that every time we tried to explain in a thread, you'd just be drowned out by all of these
another
haters.
Wave. Yeah.
If you've never experienced like a social media mob attack, it's very painful. It's very intense. It's like a crowd throwing rocks at you.
It's like a Twitter DDoS of hate. It's a hate DDoS.
Basically. And so I tried an effort to actually clarify this, and this was a little defensive, I would say, but I was seeking a bit more to clarify. So the reality is a few things. Bankless DAO is actually a completely separate entity from Bankless Media, the podcast that you're listening to, the LLC that David and I run. So the DAO is actually a community that neither David nor myself or any in our media company control. Right. And that's actually how DAOs are supposed to work. So maybe you could explain the genesis of the DAO itself and how it's kind of separate.
Yeah. So in 2021, the rise of Bankless from being kind of a niche media organization catering to just like the people that were left in the bear market of 2019, Bankless kind of rose in popularity as Ethereum did, as the bull market did, as the crypto markets did in 2021. And by the time the mid of 2021 came around, like crypto was on like a lot of people's radar. That's where we got like Mark Cuban on. And that's where we got just like, we popularized Ethereum to YouTube in ways that most people didn't. And we're explaining it. So Bankless was having a very great moment of success after grinding it out in the bear market for a while. Simultaneously, while we were having just a lot of new listeners, kind of onboarding people onto the mission, this idea of DAOs comes about. And me and Ryan, your DMs, my DMs on Twitter are just flooded with support of people saying, hey, I just love what you guys are doing. I love the content that you guys have. How can I help? And it would be from people from all walks of life. Like, I am like, literally, like, I don't know how to help. I'm a dentist, but I would just love to help out. And I'm like, I really appreciate the support. I don't know how to have a dentist paid, like a part of the HQ company. I really appreciate that you want to go like build in the movement, but we don't have room for you. And because like, especially there were like hundreds. And simultaneously, this DAOs as an ideology, as a movement, as an alternative way of organizing people, that whole thing is blossoming throughout 2021. So what do? We just smash these particles together. Oh, there's so much support for like the bankless idea, the bankless mission, the bankless ideology, and we don't have enough room at Bankless HQ, Bankless LLC to fit all of this. Smash those things together, you make a DAO. Bankless DAO was incepted in May 4th, 2021. We mint this token. We find all of the on-chain footprints that we can for bankless aligned people. And we just airdrop the token to them and say, boom, we've made Bankless DAO. We had a Discord set up, like go into the Discord. And from then on, it started to auto-organize.
And so one of the first proposals we put forward to the DAO, so again, we had no tokens at inception. Mm-hmm. One of the first proposals was a Genesis proposal. So David and I don't write smart contracts. Mm-hmm. We couldn't spin up the website. There's a group of people who helped us kind of incept this thing and launch it. And we called that kind of the Bankless Genesis team. We submitted a vote to the DAO with their existing tokens to allocate to the Genesis, Bankless Genesis team and Bankless LLC 25% of the total bank supply. And that would give these entities kind of like governance moving forward and some potential level of control. And that
now, there were 12 people in the Genesis team, including you, some developers, website developers, designers, etc.
Yes. And of that, Bankless LLC, I think, got 15%. You and I got like 3 or 4% individually, and the rest of the Genesis team kind of got the rest. Now, an important element of the story, Bankless has not sold any tokens at all, has not participated in any votes so far. Neither have David nor myself sold any tokens or participated in any voting. Mm. I mean, I think it quickly became apparent that we couldn't coordinate all of the energy that was being outputted by the DAO. And so we were best in a position to just kind of like lead the movement by way of podcasts, by our newsletter. Like there was so much activity in there. Every time I would go into the DAO Discord, I would just get overwhelmed by like, I can't organize all of this, right? And that was cool because the DAO was doing things on its own and was operating on its own. So that's, I think, another part that the Twitter mobs were missing, which was that neither myself nor you nor Bankless Media had ever financially benefited from the DAO. We'd never sold a bank token. All the wallets are public. We've refrained from governance votes, so we're not actually controlling this thing. So when we say these entities are separate, which is what I was replying to many of the skeptics on Twitter, it really was separate. Like I had no idea this proposal was going forward. I had no idea that Bankless DAO had list of consulting services that they were providing to various DAOs. And people went back and they said, oh, they've done something similar to Optimism and provided services for them. I didn't even know any of that was going on. And I think crypto Twitter collectively was in disbelief that a DAO was actually operating as a DAO, or that we wouldn't know about it. Or that like this thing is called Bankless DAO and you're called Bankless, so you must be one and the same. It was just like not computing to all of the skeptics. Some of them were trolls. Some of them were haters. But I think there were some good faith critics there that were just like, come on, guys. Like, this so has like, to be a grift.
Yeah, the idea that like, because we would say we're just totally unaffiliated with the DAO. It's like, well, I mean, when we say that, we're like, yeah, we're not in the Discord. We're not doing the labor. Those aren't our services. Those are their services. And so there's a pretty clear line that's drawn. But then also when we say, yeah, we're totally unaffiliated with the DAO. Well, no, like we incepted it. We minted the tokens.
That's true.
We have the tokens.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so, like, what do you mean you're not affiliated with the DAO? You guys fucking made it. What
we
are you
just
guys talking
meant
about?
We didn't create that proposal and didn't know about it, and the financial proceeds don't go to us. But
right.
I think a lot of people in crypto Twitter was having none of it. And so some people were like, then why'd you even create the DAO in the first place?
Right.
And that part of it, like, here's why. It's because we wanted to try this DAO experiment. We wanted to experiment right. with Bankless as a headless brand. The mm-hmm. idea of Bankless is not that it's just a podcast or a newsletter. The right. idea of Bankless is that it's a movement, that
it's
everyone can go
yeah.
bankless. And so we wanted to create surface area, crypto native surface area, so that people who are attached to the movement could find a way to, like, get in a Discord room and actually mm-hmm. collaborate and do this. And by the way, people don't know this, but Bankless DAO was doing a lot.
Yeah, it's,
doing, it's like
they're doing
one of the,
so much.
It's one of the DAO-iest DAOs that exist. They've uh-huh. spun up all sorts of different products. They have different chapters. There's a Bankless Brazil mm-hmm. That we've gotten to know over there. There's a Bankless Japan translating content, creating educational content. There's a Bankless Africa, all sorts of international branches. Like, the DAO is doing things. It's not
right.
doing everything perfectly, okay?
Right.
But, like, these are fantastic people. It's not a rug. It's not a
right.
grift. It's an actual DAO that operates by way of Discord channel to organize their community and by way mm-hmm. of token vote. And it's actually a really cool experiment.
Yeah, and I think this is where a lot of the misunderstanding comes from. It's like most people, when they think of DAOs, like Maker DAO or the Aave DAO, there's like one centralized DAO where there's like a central command and list of people. And that's just like not how like the Bankless DAO works. Like the actual Bankless DAO is actually a subset, like an amalgamation of a bunch of sub DAOs. Mm. There's like 20, 30, 40 plus different sub DAOs inside of Bankless DAO. And the actual like head of the organization doesn't exist. There's a few like coordinators that coordinate resources and manage like stuff between sub DAOs, but like the Bankless DAO is actually much more of a blurry line than what people are considering to be like a DAO. There are no boundaries that are in or out of the DAO. It's just all these different sub DAOs: Bankless Consulting, Bankless Publishing, The Rug, Fight Club, like the Audio Video Guild, the Legal Guild. Like if I had time, I could go in there and start listing off 30 more. And then when you add all of these sub DAOs together, then you get some sort of semblance of like the greater Bankless DAO, but it's headless. It's much bottom up. It's like five people get together and they make a sub DAO called Bankless something. And then they're a part of Bankless DAO. So it is actually a decentralized DAO, unlike every other DAO that crypto Twitter is familiar with.
Yes. And so I think a lot of people didn't understand that. So there was right. there's a lot of dunking. But the truth is, like, I'm proud of what the DAO has done, just
right.
in general, not this specific proposal. And again, right. I can't speak to this specific proposal. But keep in mind, the proposal, like, it wasn't a raid on the DAO. It's a simple,
right.
I'm sending you a response
right.
to, like,
it's a trade offer. Trade
yeah,
offer.
It's a trade offer. Do you want to buy these services? Yes, no. I mean, Arbitrum Governance is going to review this on its own
right.
merits and the ROI
yeah.
and make a decision like they would with any other vendor. So it's not like a raid. I don't understand the outrage specifically right. targeted towards this proposal, but it's caught up in this Twitter narrative.
Yeah.
There's a comment on this tweet, David, where I was getting like I was explaining this and trying to kind of defend our position. Udi, of course, says, "My man, I love you, but this is a really long tweet. You could have just renamed the DAO instead." Like, there's an element of, I understand there is some brand confusion here between
mm-hmm.
Bankless HQ and our media company and Bankless DAO. But the reason we did that at the very beginning is so that
right.
everyone could latch on to the Bankless movement and kind of make it their own. And so
right.
it could live and scale past you or I and this podcast
right.
and this newsletter all around the world.
Right. Kraken knows crypto. We are all on the journey of building a better financial system, and Kraken has been leading that charge for over a decade. Crypto is world-changing tech, and it's Kraken's mission to accelerate the adoption of crypto so that you and the rest of the world can achieve financial freedom. Head over to kraken.com to see what crypto can be. And once you buy your assets on Kraken and you need to start exploring DeFi, make sure you explore it through your MetaMask portfolio, a deeper, more expansive way to use MetaMask that gives you the battle station you need to navigate the bull market. You can can buy, swap, bridge, and stake your crypto assets with ease. I already know that you have a MetaMask wallet, so go check out your MetaMask portfolio. Did you know that Arbitrum is the fourth largest chain by economic activity in crypto? How did Arbitrum get there? Well, with low fees and fast transactions, of course. With over 600 apps on Arbitrum, the Arbitrum ecosystem has a solution for you. Whether you're into DeFi, NFTs, or you simply need a fast chain, or even if you want your own dedicated throughput with an Arbitrum Orbit, Arbitrum has a home for you. Visit Arbitrum.io to get started with your journey with one of the most active chains in crypto. And if you want to try out a newer layer two to the Ethereum family, try out Celo, a battle-tested EVM layer one that has recently decided to move to Ethereum. Celo is the mobile-first, carbon-negative blockchain built for the regenerative future. With the Celo layer two, gas fees will stay low, and you can even pay for gas using ERC20 tokens. Follow Celo.org on Twitter and visit Celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum.
Uniswap Labs just released the Uniswap mobile wallet for iOS, the newest, easiest way to trade tokens on the go. You can easily create or import a new wallet, buy crypto on any available exchange with your debit card, and you can seamlessly swap on Mainnet, Polygon, Arbitrum, and Optimism. So you can now go directly to DeFi with the Uniswap mobile wallet. Safe, simple custody from the most trusted team in DeFi. Download the Uniswap wallet today on iOS.
Are you launching a token? Is it already live? How are you managing the legal and tax for providing token awards to your team? Toku simplifies everything about managing token grant compensation, and you can get started for free. With Toku, you'll have access to top-notch legal and tax support to handle the distribution and management of tokens for your team. Toku understands every grant structure and caters to every step of the compliance process. Visit them at toku.com/bankless.
Introducing USDV, a better type of stablecoin. Every USDV is backed one-to-one by US Treasury bills, which pay yield. This yield flows out to the community of USDV issuers. This works thanks to a breakthrough technology called Color Trace from Layer Zero. USDV is live on Ethereum, Optimism, Arbitrum, and other chains. Start participating in the yield from treasury-backed stablecoins at bankless.com/USDV. And last up, GMX, but specifically GMX V2, offering even faster on-chain trading for DeFi liquidity providers. GMX is a permissionless decentralized exchange that offers perpetual futures and spot trading. Liquidity providers receive 63% of all of GMX's protocol fees, and GMX users get a referral link to lower fees for you and your referrals. Try out GMX V2 now at app.gmx.io. Now, onto the show.
And separately from all of this, there seems to be like these semi-regular seasons in which it's just like bankless pile-on seasons. It's just like we do something that people take offense to, that make people feel aggrieved by, and then that like is like lighting a match that lights a bunch of like tinder that's been like set over the past few months, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, like a few people are hating on bankless, like I also have like my grievances to air. And yes, it turns into a contagion and it turns viral, and it's like, oh, we're hating on bankless. This is the moment in crypto Twitter we're hating on bankless. And this happened like 5 times over
this
the last.
This
like,
is the worst though.
This was the worst and the loudest by far.
It, honestly, I don't know how this affects you, because again, you were trying to have Thanksgiving, but like it started for me Friday and then continued into Saturday. And this was like 48 hours of attack. And like it hits me. I'm like, am I a grifter?
Well, because like you and I are like, we try to be truth seekers. And yes, when like 100 accounts are tweeting at us every hour saying you guys are grifters,
yes.
I'm like, wait, am I?
Yeah.
And then I have to like think about it. I was like, no, fuck you. Like, I'm fine.
Well, that's what you think. It takes me a while to come to that conclusion, right? So, I mean, even people in the Ethereum community. So some accounts were coming out defending us, like DC Investor was like, hey, Bankless has helped onboard thousands of people. And then Foo Basler, who's in the Ethereum community, says, Bankless has had a long pattern of behavior and bad marketing from the Bankless team. So a lot of Ethereum OGs actually think Bankless does more damage to Ethereum than good. And I just saw that and I was like, wait a second.
What does he mean?
What does he mean?
I don't know what he means.
This is what Twitter makes you think. You're staring in the funhouse mirror and then it reflects back at you. And you're like, do I really look like that? Is that me?
Right.
And so you tweeted out some questions like this, but so did I. The truth is the day Bankless is bad for Ethereum is the day I leave. Like, I don't want to do this. If like we're the bad guys,
we're here to help Ethereum
and we're here to help people in crypto. I mean, I don't want, if I'm a grifter, I turn into a grifter without knowing it. Right. Like, what am I doing something wrong here? And so I asked the question, is Bankless net bad for Ethereum? And this is when more support started.
Yeah, this is the tide started to turn a little bit.
Yeah. So Anthony Sassano is, of course, a Bankless isn't a massive good, net good for Ethereum and all of crypto. You've done a lot, more than 99% of people. Benjamin Cohen, net positive by far. Eric Voorhees, this is the one right. I really cared about hearing about, you know, Anthony as well. But y'all are great. Stop worrying about and feeding the drama.
Yeah.
I guess that's good advice, right? It's just Bankless listener, we know this, but it's also like, it's also very hard because
Twitter's hard.
Twitter can become a reflection of like the current crypto narrative. And it gets echoed, as we saw, like news stories of reporting about this. People like reporters from the Block.
Right.
Like
made the news.
Yes. Frank Shapiro from the Block said, well, do you think that proposal is like valuable or not? Like, I really want your commentary. Right. I'm like, I don't know. I have not reviewed it.
Yeah. It's not my proposal.
It's not my proposal. Like, I didn't do it, but that's not an acceptable answer.
Yeah.
So I know we have to not listen to all of these critics, but I'm telling you, when you're in the thick of it, it is absolutely overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like the response that came out was like, oh, yeah, Bankless is like a net good for Ethereum. This might be me just like, being really personal about this, but the whole like net good thing I have a problem with, and people have told me that I need to not take this too seriously and I still have a problem with it, but it's like I'm not here to be a net good. Like a net good is like, oh, there's some good, there's some bad, but on net, like it's good. I'm like, no, I'm here to be an overwhelmingly positive influence for crypto and Ethereum for the world. Like, I'm here to only do good. That's all I've got as motivation left. And so, like, when people come and say, oh, yeah, you know, when you net things out, they're pretty good. I'm like, fuck, what am I here? Why am I doing this?
Well, there's a lot of requests from us to kind of list the things that were bad about us. And, like, some of them are just bad faith critiques. Like, have ads. You have advertisement. Right. You have
your titles are clickbaity.
Yes, you have YouTube thumbnails that we don't like. And like a lot of that is you know, easily dismissed, but some of it kind of hits closer to home. Anyway, I didn't find a lot of good
things. Some of the people who say things, okay, oh yeah, like that's a history of bad behavior, and I'm like I would like the specifics. Like did you get any like specifics? I was like, no. Oh, okay.
So like an example, Mark from Aave, who I think is fantastic. He's been in Aave from the very beginning, kind of a DeFi zealot. He
said, builder, yeah.
Bankless is 90% good educational conference content, 10% grift.
Right.
And I was just like, Mark, what's the 10%?
What's the 10%? Because as soon as I discover what that 10% is, I'm pruning it from my life. Thank you.
Yeah. And his reply was, oh, I didn't mean grift. I just meant like, you guys run a profitable business.
He said profit maxi. 90% good content, 10% profit maxi. I'm like, oh, wait.
We have ads. We have
a media business.
We have 20 people that work at Bankless HQ and help us produce this podcast, help us generate the newsletter, all of the analyst reports that we use and all the tools that we do. Okay, so all of that happened, right? I guess what's the conclusion on this? What's the end of the story? Did we receive any signal from all of these events? Because I think we did, and we finally put this together on Sunday and tried to put a wrap on all of it. Right. But you know, this is your tweet to sum it all up, I think.
Yeah, and it took a while to get here to write this tweet. Like a couple people had to DM me and be like, "Yo, like, calm down." and like people were just like. And when it comes from people that you trust and know, like it hits different. And so you just need the trusted like advisors in this space to be like, walk you through it. Right. And then once they do is like, okay, this is pretty obvious. So I put out this tweet and I said, to lead with the obvious, we could be better in accepting criticism of Bankless. We hold Bankless very dear. And like I think you too have this innate reflex to protect it when we see it being unfairly attacked. This clouds our ability to hear what crypto Twitter is trying to tell us, especially when it's drowned out by very obvious and unwarranted and off-base hatred towards Bankless. Please forgive me for blindly throwing out the baby with the bathwater when it comes to crypto Twitter to constructively tell Bankless how it feels about stuff. Basically, crypto Twitter is like, well, you guys, like David and Ryan, we just explained the history of Bankless DAO just now. I'd say most people were unfamiliar with that. Or at least have forgotten about it and have not been tracking the progress and work, very real work that Bankless DAO has been doing for other protocols, just like the proposal that they made to Arbitrum. And so they just, and then Bankless DAO makes this tweet, we're asking for $2 million. And like that gets enough virality for people to be re-exposed to Bankless DAO for the first time in a while. And the first time that they see Bankless DAO in a first time in a while is they're asking for $2 million. And then they associate it with like, yeah, we have a lot of ads on Bankless. And then they smash those particles together and be like, they're grifters. Anyways, I'm going back into the defensive thing. So I'm trying to not do that. So like, we understand how, like, if you are not tapped into the DAO, even though like Ryan and I are not tapped into the DAO, we're still
the branding isn't clear.
The branding's not clear. Like, so like, wait, so Ryan and David are just asking for like Arbitrum tokens via the DAO as a sly, grifty little mechanism of getting more Arbitrum tokens.
Yes.
Like that's like a conclusion that people came to.
Yes.
Right. And so like, okay, I understand branding's not clear. Like we have tokens, but we don't vote in governance. So like we are affiliated with the DAO, but it's an independent entity. It is all confusing. I understand.
Yes. And there's
it's actually going to only get more confusing as time goes on. And as if we have another bull market and we have even more people come into the space, they're just going to see like, oh, Bankless DAO, same.
That's the signal through all of the mob attacks. It's just two things. The branding between Bankless and the media company that we run and Bankless DAO is unclear right now. So we need to
Which is the experiment?
That was, but we've seen ways it can lead to bad outcomes, basically. Right. And so one of the steps that we're going to do is submit a governance proposal to the Bankless DAO to kind of clarify the branding between Bankless, the media company, and what we do, and Bankless DAO itself. So that is a work in progress. The other thing that we're going to do is burn all the bank tokens. Right. I don't want any question out there that like David and Ryan control the DAO in any way.
Our beneficiaries of the DAO.
Our profit motivated set this up because like they want to be extractive from the community. No, that was not the intent from the get-go. Right. And to quash any doubts, it's just simpler just to basically burn the bank tokens. So that's what we're doing, our personal tokens and Bankless HQ. And I think the DAO is going to be okay. Like they're going to thrive. They're going to do what they do. They're going to self-organize. The truth is like, we didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had very little participation, right? We were kind of like spiritual support, movement support for this organization. Everything that they've done is kind of theirs. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's the conclusion that we came to.
And I would also say like going back to what I was said, that there's actually no Bankless DAO. There's actually just the conglomerate of sub DAOs that when you form them together, then they are like, hey guys, like I think we are Bankless DAO. Like that's how I articulate what Bankless DAO is. And like the real DAO for me, like the way that I articulate this thing is the idea, the Bankless idea, freedom, sovereignty through protocols, cryptography, like all of the ideas and values that we talk about here on Bankless, both Bankless LLC and Bankless DAO, in my mind, serve that idea, that grander idea. And that is the broader DAO, is the idea of Bankless.
Lowercase b, anyone can go Bankless. This is the Bankless movement. I mean, anybody can go Bankless. It's not just a podcast, not just a newsletter. This was the conclusion, I think, for me. Toast tweeted this. In all seriousness, if Bankless are the current main characters, then we're doing okay. So David, I guess if we became the villains last weekend, maybe crypto Twitter feels okay about that.
Yeah, if we're the worst people.
Least
on
bad
Twitter,
villains, then, maybe.
Yeah.
At least we got that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that existential crisis, David, leaves maybe to a broader existential crisis. It's like, what are we doing here in crypto? Mm-hmm. And this was one interesting reaction and outcome from this whole series of events that is much broader than I think Bankless and gets to the question of like, why are we here? This is DeFi Moki tweeting out, the mistake I always see from people in crypto, like Bankless, the mistake they make is thinking too much about being net positive for the space. Go see your tweet. You said you were here to be really effing more than net positive, but like
overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. Yeah. The tweet continues, don't kid yourselves. We are in this land of degenerate capitalism only to make money. And then name some developers that are kind of DeFi developers, Andrew Cronier and someone else. They contributed so much to this space and still get shit on. Token price going up equals contributing to crypto. Token price going down equals rug. Oh, by the way, we didn't include that part of the story, but the bank price, token price down bad. But we don't care. We've never talked about that. That's never been a thing. It's a governance token.
Valueless governance. But what do you think a valueless governance token is?
Right. At the end of the day, though, that's the only two things that matter on crypto Twitter. Yes. Yeah. And I think this is crypto Twitter culture versus all of crypto culture. Yeah. We could unpack that. But this general idea of like, we're here for the money.
Right.
I responded to this. I know this isn't true because it's not why I'm still here. Yeah, we all want to make money. That's good in itself, but not when it's the only reason we're here. Mm-hmm. Crypto is a system of digital rights and freedom we can pass down to future generations. That's why I'm here. I don't think crypto Twitter necessarily resonates with this take, but what do you think about it? Like, this is sort of the nihilism, I would say, versus like, we're here for the values, we're here for the money versus we're here for the decentralization. What's your take on this? Are we being like naive in, I don't know, doing this whole bankless thing?
Order of operations, right? If you are here for the money, the fact that crypto is about money is like this very like unfortunate thing that's very necessary because that's what we're here to do. There are
is
people
it
who
unfortunate?
Are unfortunate. Well, because like you can come to crypto for the tech, and then that as a and then you work in crypto and you build crypto, and then the assets follow the builds that what you build, right? Money follows the tech. But then some people come and it's like, well, I'm here for the money. And then they actually extract from the people that are here from the tech, right? Does that make sense?
It does. But why can't, I don't understand why it has to be binary. Why can't you come for both? Why can't you come for like long-term wealth creation?
I'm here for the tech creation. Money, the money tech, right? It's like, yeah.
The values, to the extent we make crypto useful for the world and our values are manifest, right? Our bags will go up, but it doesn't happen like overnight.
I think Twitter is especially this like nihilist space where like there is no values in crypto. There's only money. Like crypto, Twitter is also like the highest place of conversations. Like that's where the action happens. That's where the activity happens. That's where the alpha happens. And so if you're here for the money, that's where you are. But if you're here for the tech, you're on like much slower places like the Ethereum Magicians Discord, right? Or like forums. And so like I think Twitter itself just bends towards the people who are here for the money the most and who are the most nihilist, probably. I think that's a fair
take. Can I just make a distinction? Because like, I truly am here for like the money as well. I mean, bankless has always been about investing on the, like going bankless, it's about wealth creation. Like I think there's another slice of things where you can get, I'm only here for the tech. And I don't think that's true.
That's also unsustainable. Yeah.
The money is the tech. This is social technology. It's like we're creating new store of value in a new banking system. Of course we're here for the money, right? Mm-hmm. But not just the money. That's all I'm trying to say is like, if we're only here for the short-term games and the Ponzification of everything and the pyramid schemes, and we're not creating long-term value, long-term wealth creation, then like it's totally empty to me. And I'd rather not be in this space. Like, I don't know why I'm here. I could go, like, remember when we had that conversation with Sam Bankman-Fried a long time ago? And he was like,
I don't care about decentralization.
I could make money on trading orange futures. Right. Like, the prices of fruit. Yeah. Like, I don't care how I make money. I'm just here to, like, make the maximum amount of money.
Currently trading mackerel. did you hear that story?
No.
Oh, yeah. He needed to get a haircut. So he had to like get some mackerel to pay for a haircut.
The fish. Like,
jail money. Yes, jail money. Anyways, that's a divergent. We'll talk about that. Let me think about it. Yeah, but that's a true story. I think like the topic of money is kind of an interesting litmus test. I think like when you and I are faced with the prompt money, like we've done content on this. We think like ledgers. Like anthropology, culture, writing, like precious metals, like the history of money, the money as a philosophical concept, because that's interesting technology. Like money as a technology throughout time is like a way to accept that prompt of money. And then other people take the prompt of money as like, you know, charts, TA, narrative trading. Like stuff like that. And so like, money, like is a people will look at money and like it will reflect back at them many different things. And
I think that there's a third way to like, you can do the philosophical, you can do the short-term trading, which is what this DeFi Mocha accounts. But the third way is like as a long-term investor, right? Like number go up over time. That's great. If Ethereum is successful, it will be well over 10K. It will be worth, you know, trillions of dollars. And I think that is fantastic. I think it's the best like wealth creation event that our generation will see in their lifetime. And there's no like shame in that, but that doesn't mean that's the only reason we're here. you know, like, and it's not, it's, I actually don't want to be in this crypto thing if we're not creating something of value for the world and for future generations, because it's back to that 2017 Vitalik tweet. It's like, we've done all these things, but have we earned it?
Right.
Like, I think there's a way to like earn the value, like the actual wealth creation of our assets. And I think it's just a time horizon thing, short-term versus long-term time horizons.
Yeah. You know, the old, the term in like the genealogy of humans, Homo habilis, like, I think it was the, I think maybe it's us or maybe the humans that came before us. Habilis, like Homo habilis is handyman, as in like they started using tools. And this is like the birth of technology, right? There's like a, this thought concept of something alternative called Homo economicus, which is like economic man. Every single person has economic calculus that they run in their brains at all times, right? Like in the dating market, right? Like you're, everything is a market, right? Like I'm want to go for lunch. Which sandwich do I get more value from? Which mate do I get more value from? Everything is like an economics conversation. And so like, in, like invisibly everything is an economics calculus to a lot of people. And so when they come to crypto, like we are Homo economicus. We come into crypto and like we start doing economics calculations inside of our brain. And I think a lot of like people on Twitter with this, like, what, you know what else is distorted in crypto? Like money. It goes up by 100x really quickly. That's very distorting, right? Like the narrative of X of Twitter, where this conversation is about these things, is also very distorting. Everything just gets really distorted. And so I think in the era of like rage machines that are crypto, like that are our Web2 protocols, we get a distortion of what like it even means to be here for money. And it ends up, I think, just defaulting to like nihilism a lot.
There you go. All right, guys. So those are the takes. Man, a little self-indulgent this weekend, I think, talking about our own problems and Twitter and media.
I've got another problem. I've got another problem.
Yeah.
You know how I opened up this conversation? It's like, I have no idea how many of the podcast listeners are going to like be interested in this Twitter related content, or they're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? I also don't know how to get that answer from them. Like, how do they tell me? It's like, I don't give a shit about your guys' Twitter drama. Move on. I don't know how to receive that, because the place I would go and get that information is to Twitter. I'd be like, hey, what did you guys think of the episode? And like, that's not who I'm trying to get feedback from right now. I'm trying to take a time out from Twitter.
Are you really? Is that, no. Are you going to delete the app? Or are you going to take a break?
No, I already took my break.
Might be in a healthier state if we do. Bankless Nation, thanks for hanging with us. Gotta end with this, of course. Crypto is risky. So is social media. My God. Yeah. You could lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier in your mental health. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.